Thanks for tuning in. You are listening to Conversations with the Citizen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Conversations with the Citizen. I'm your host, Catherine, and we are here today celebrating Teacher Appreciation Week with Miss Cynthia Bronner, who is a third grade teacher at James Wadsworth Elementary in Hyde Park, right?
Woodlawn.
Yes. So welcome, Miss Bronner.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being here. I want to just start with a little bit about you before we get more into what's going on at Wadsworth. So the first thing I want to ask you was just to, you know, tell me a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your background and what led you into education.
Okay. Well, my background is I'm a Chicago Public Schools graduate. So I started back in the day, it was called Head Start. It wasn't a pre-K. It's kind of like I've been in school for years. And I just remember just always being a CPS, which just has happened. And I decided to go into teaching, not for, you know, the degree, because my degree is in journalism. I decided when I got bored with my day job, and my mother said, hey, you have a degree. Did you know that you can get summers off of CPS? I'm like, sign me up. Mm-hmm. And here I am. So the desire was never really to teach. But let my mother tell it is that when I was 13, going on 14, and the city has the summer programs for youth, I thought I had my eighth grade year off after graduation, was thinking, okay, this is going to be great, relax. Before I start high school, she signed me up for a job, and my first job was tutoring. So if you let her tell it, she's the one that got me into education. But what made me come to CPS outside of having summers off, I learned to appreciate the children I saw and realized, wow, I have an opportunity to mold or help direct the minds of young people who are like me, come from the same, a similar background, and just really do great things with them, which is kind of why I'm still here.
So, yeah. And so you've been teaching for, I think, about 20 years now, right?
A little longer. I actually started in 89 subbing, because that's when my mom said make the switch. And so I'm like, I'm in, switch over. And I subbed for 6 years before I decided to really go into teaching. I mean, I was like, and I'm like, I don't know if I want to do this. And I started in a child parent center in the Woodlawn area. And the head teacher was like, you should really go to school, you know, go back and get your degree or your certificate per se, because you're doing great. I'm like, I don't know. And eventually after 6 years, I finished and did it, and degree after degree, and just moving forward, and I'm still here.
And so I am really interested to hear from you, you know, just what makes you want to stay in CPS. I know that you are, you know, originally from the South Side.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is it that motivates you to stay in CPS and to stay on the South Side when, you know, with that much experience, you kind of probably could take your pick of where you wanted to be?
I could take my pick. I can decide to advance myself in education, but I found that each year I get a different group of people to work with. And each year it's rewarding to try something new. So what I did X number of years ago, I'm not doing it the same way now. Yes, the basics are the same. They need to know how to read. They need to know how to do all of the academics. But how I deliver to them, that opportunity to change each year and to see how they go, wow, that was so awesome. That's why I still do it.
And I know Wadsworth is a STEM school.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. Is STEM something that you were familiar with prior, or are you kind of learning with your students in a lot of this?
So when we merged and became a STEM school, I was like panicking. I'm like, okay, I have no STEM background. My degrees and everything are in early childhood up to third grade. What am I supposed to do? STEM is usually high school, la, 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 la. So I went online to try to find classes to help me keep my job by getting that background. And then I realized when we merged, they were going to provide everything for us. So to answer your question, I learned the first 2 years I learned with my students, but I did do a lot of summer PD. So I knew enough walking in that they didn't know that I didn't know as much as they thought I knew. And it was kind of cool because in high school, I didn't want to do the traditional home ec classes. I wanted to do auto shop or other non-traditional girl things. And the school was like, well, no, you have to do this. And technology was coming in the scene. So it was computer class. they allowed me to take the computer class. And from that on, you know, from that time on, I had a desire to work with the computers. Didn't really realize that great desire until we became a STEM school. And I went and took my iPad training. And I went and worked with the Androids. And then the smartphones came out. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a knack for this. So that's my passion now. And that is what we do in my classroom. We are heavy with learning with the technology. Mm-hmm. And not so much the traditional technology, but what people call technology is really the electronic version of technology, because an ink pen is technology, if you think about it.
Yeah.
And that's what someone my students learn. Right. Someone invented it. They modified how we write. They modified what we write on. So with my students, as I learned that to get my foot, you know, to get my feet wet and walk in the door and say, hey, try these new things. Then as they learned the things that I already knew, I was learning even more. So I took every PD I possibly could. Any, you know, it could be a midnight PD, I was there. It could be a 6 a.m. PD, I was there.
What is PD? Professional development?
I'm sorry, professional development. Okay. Yeah, professional development.
Make sure.
Right. And so I made sure that I learned enough to get them going, and I have, and I continue to learn. And I haven't stopped learning. So I'm still learning, because now I'm taking online classes for digital technology that I've introduced some of that with my students. And the cool thing about STEM, it's not a, okay, let's stop the STEM time. The great thing about STEM is that STEM is all the time. So it's infused, and I'm self-contained in my classroom. It's infused in everything I do, and it's basically how you think mm-hmm. and how you approach things and how I don't keep my students in a box. I allow them to explore and branch out and try things. And if they fail, it's okay, because we're in the comfort zone. You can fail. I'm not perfect. And I let them know when I'm not perfect. And they'll go, oh, okay, well, how do I do better with that? And so that's STEM.
And so that brings me, you know, very nicely into mm-hmm. my next topic of conversation for you. I want to hear about your classroom.
Okay.
I am really interested in hearing, you know, some of the unique ways that you have found to teach that work for you over the years, some of the unique ways, you know, that you have found with connecting with your students. And I do want to share with everybody, I did for once a little bit of research before you came
okay.
in. So just, I want to share with everybody, a little bit of information about Wadsworth. Just so we know that, this school is 96.6% African American, according to the CPS website, 88.3% low income, and 33.4% chronic truancy. So, especially with the truancy, I'm sure that presents some challenges itself. But yeah, so then, you know, just my same question, how have you adapted to, you know, meet the needs of your students at Wadsworth?
So what I do each year, I create a community in my classroom. Not just you come to school, it's your classroom, you do what I say. My students have input with me. We talk about different things. I might have some ideas that I want to implement in the classroom. I'll pull a couple and say, hey, sit down, talk to me, what do you think about this? So they're inclusive in everything that we do in the classroom. I do set the traditional guidelines, okay? You have to say, you know, you can't do this and not expect any consequences. Like mm-hmm. if you argue with someone and you don't resolve it and it turns into something higher, it escalates beyond just an argument, then we have to sit down and talk about it and handle these consequences. You know, you have to have these consequences. But what I also what I do is I just make sure they're included to handle truancy. In my classroom, we have a Fun Friday. And so what I decided, okay, they need to also understand money, because that's a real life application. I went and purchased, it's play money that looks like real money, but it's different colors. And so if you come to school, just walk through the door on time, you get $1,000. If you turn in your homework on time, not a day late, you get $500. That all builds up, because Fun Friday on Friday is 30 minutes set aside. It's not just we play games and we lollygag, but what it is, you get iPad time for 30 straight minutes. Go on any approved CPS website, mm-hmm. and you have fun. I won't even interrupt you. That's $31,000, though, and that's every Friday. And then I'll buy because we're a healthy food school, so I'll buy the organic juices and so forth, and the I call it the clean popcorn,
mm-hmm.
and I'll allow them to have those snacks before they go and use the iPad for 30 minutes. And what it does is teaches them how to earn money. It teaches them how to handle money because they have to, you know, if you have any infractions, like if our rule is zero in the hallway, you talk in the hallway, that could run you from $10 to $2,000 just from talking in the hallway. And so if you don't want to lose the money and want to be able to earn money for Fun Friday, then you really need to try to do your best. And it, so far it's working. We won the March Madness attendance, and that was for the month of March. We had the highest attendance, and my kids, we took it. We did it, and they came. Like, I think I might have had, out of however many days it was, maybe 4 days where one kid was absent on each. So what is that for? Yeah, we rocked. We rocked. So, yay, kudos. Yeah, it was great. And they all won plaques, and the classroom won $100, so we're good. And I hope that answered your question.
It does. It definitely does. Really the only other area that I wanted to dive a little bit deeper with you is just one thing that I found unique when I was, doing a little bit of research about you. Okay. And your classroom was that you teach African American history all year long. Yes. Not just during Black History Month.
Right.
I found that to be really special. I wanted to talk to you about that, how you do that and why you do that.
The why is because I found over the years, students will react based on what they've been exposed to, or they can only handle things based on what they've been exposed to. If you don't understand your culture, then you bring in things that degrade other people, thinking that it's okay because it's what you're kind of used to. And I don't just mean at home. I mean like on television, the media, when you look around, there are a lot of negative images for African Americans. So what I try to do is instill into them, hey, being African American is okay. I mean, because I think there's a book, The Skin I'm In, but it's like be grateful, you know, and excited about the color of your skin. Don't worry about what other people think. You're not a statistic. You are not one of those people who, well, okay, you know what? They might not make it. Let's give them the lower things. No, you have high expectations for yourself. I have high expectations for them. You are going to be a producer versus a consumer. I mean, we do need some consumers because even as a producer, you become a consumer. But they need to know that people who look like them can make it. Mm-hmm. And even if they don't look like them, those are not bad people. You know, and so that is why I do, you know, I implement it each time other than in February. Now, February, we rock.
Yeah.
We do the videos. I mean, we bring out all of, you know, people who we haven't met. What I mean by that is they know about Harriet Tubman. They know about Frederick Douglass. That's like every year. And I told them, you did that when you were younger. You're in third grade now and you're moving forward. So we're going to look at different people. And so I have them to just search the internet, which helps them with their skills to see what are some things that other African Americans have done. I mean, yeah, you got Harriet Tubman, you got Rosa Parks down pat, you know, Dr. King really good, but who are some other people? So we took a look at people in the Woodlawn area. I put together a booklet where we looked at 7 change agents. So I did stick with people who they knew, so the booklet wouldn't seem overwhelming. And it tells kind of like a story timeline. So we look at Harriet Tubman, who, if you think about her, what she's done, she helped slaves go to freedom. If slavery was still around, then we wouldn't have everything else. So we look at Harriet Tubman, we go to Frederick Douglass, Gary Morgan. After Gary Morgan, it is Harold Washington. After Harold Washington, we look at Barack Obama. We look at Dr. King. I just got him out of order. And then we look, because I wanted to bring it back to the Woodlawn community, we looked at Bishop Arthur Embrasure, and we look at Dr. Byron Brasher, because those are change agents that's in their community, and that way they can have a sense, wow, not only was this worldwide and then it was global, but it's actually right in my backyard.
Yeah.
So I do those things.
I think that's really important, and that's why too. I do it. Yeah. Yeah. It's cool that you kind of bring it local.
Right.
Because you hear about historical figures that are past, and maybe, you know, from the South, and it's hard to connect with. So I think that's really special.
Right. It was fun putting the booklet together, too.
I'm sure.
Yeah. They enjoyed it.
Yeah. The only other thing that I wanted to hear from you was, you know, just about the impact that you are making, or just kind of how you perceive that. If there's any kind of like a memory that stands out in your mind of being like, you know, something that makes it all worth it, or maybe just little things you see from the beginning of the year to the end of the year that make you want to do another year. You can take it however you want. I'm just curious to hear, you know, why you enjoy this and why what you're doing works, how you see that working.
Well, I'll say this, what gets me through it is prayer. And I don't see it as a job. I don't see it as other people's children. I don't take full ownership in the sense you're my child and think I can replace the parent. What I see myself is one who's working in ministry. And in ministry, you need to really hone in on the person. So I look at them holistically. They're not just children coming here with, you know, as a blank slate per se, and I have to give you everything, and if I don't give it to you, you don't get it. I work with them. And what keeps me going is that they are receptive of me. And when I work with them, it is, I'm giving you things not just for this school year. I'm giving you skills and strategies that will take you for the rest of your life. So let's just say everything stopped tomorrow and you have to figure out how to survive. You would have the basics to problem solve and realize, okay, don't go right because of whatever. I need to go left. So those kind of skills that I give them. And it's the glow in their eye and the desire that they have. They keep coming. Mm-hmm. And so because they keep coming, I make sure I keep coming. Because I don't take off. I only take off if it's like an extreme emergency. And I will say this. 3 years ago, my grandmother passed. I took off 2 days. One, to be with my mom. And then and it wasn't even a full-day takeoff. It was the half a day. And then the day of her funeral to do a eulogy. And I went back to work. Not because I'm being cruel or insensitive to my family, but my students also, they need what they need. Mm-hmm. And my grandma's in a better place. So what was I going to do? Being at home, oh, woe is me. No. She's a born-again, believer. So that was all okay. So I went back to work. I stayed prayed up. I trusted the Lord to get me through. He did, and we're keeping it moving. So I keep coming back because my students keep coming back, and they keep asking for more. And the most amazing part is in the school, the seventh graders I had when they were third grade, they keep coming back. And I'm thinking, you know, by seventh grade, you should like kick me to the curb because I'm too old for you now. They keep trying to hang out with me. It's like, really? And then I have sixth graders who are coming back. You know, so when the kids come back after they're older, it's amazing. I mean, when I taught pre-K for a while, I had a parent from pre-K who said, my children are great and they're in college now. She came back to tell me that. And I'm like, wow, so this is worth it. Mm-hmm. And then I went to a restaurant and a former student was there from pre-K. And she said, oh my gosh, you've done such great things in my life. So that's why I do it. And I haven't, you know, I don't want to stop, but I mean, at some point, you know.
Yeah.
But not now. I'm having too much fun. And with STEM, doing this STEM work, I mean, because I do a lot of donors, shoes, grants. I've gotten raspberry pies. I've gotten kidney tables. I mean, I restructured my room. I got rid of the desk. I got the kidney tables. Because when you think about it, when children grow up, they don't sit at a desk the rest of their life. They sit at a table and they dialogue. Mm-hmm. So our discourse is great. Excuse me. Our discourse is great. The autonomy my students have, now they are accountable. They still have to, you know, cross their T's and dot their I's and speak, you know, the correct language and do the work as, instructed to them, but it's like fun. Yeah. I'm having fun. That's so good. It's great. I enjoy what I do. And I enjoy where I do it at. I love Wadsworth, but Dr. Shabazz is the bomb as a principal.
Perfect.
I don't know if I just gave him a plug, but really, no, he is great. He's totally awesome. I mean, and he allows teachers to have autonomy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, yes, we have our curriculum, but within it, you can do great things. I'm like, you know, now a part of our curriculum is about wolves. I could just say, okay, turn to page 23 in the workbook, but I don't, you know, I have my students to see the workbook not as, oh my gosh, I got to do this workbook page, but as a learning tool. So they had to go and do research on the wolf. They had to write a haiku about the wolf. You just had to do all these great things. And they're like, oh wow, we know more about wolves than ever. So now when we turn to page 23, it's not like I'm working on a workbook page. It's like, oh my gosh, here's another chance to learn and do something else about wolves.
Yeah.
So that's fun. I enjoy it.
Well, that really, you know, is the extent of what I wanted to talk to you about today. So unless there's anything else you want to share with me, you're welcome to, but we will sign off.
Well, I'll just say this. My experience as a student in Chicago Public Schools has been great. And as an educator, it is like thebomb.com. Signing off.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening. Again, we are celebrating Teacher Appreciation Week with Miss Cynthia Bronner, third grade teacher at James Wadsworth Elementary. Thank you so much, Miss Bronner.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
I'm your host, Catherine, and we are signing off for now, but I will be back next week.
Remember to make plans to join us again next week for Conversations with the Citizen, the place where real news can be heard.